Welcome to Ops 101, Securing Your Hybrid Environment. Today, we're going to be talking about all things Azure Security Center. Joining with me today is Sarah Young. She's our Senior PM for all things security here at Microsoft. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So today, we're going to be discussing specifically around Azure Security Center and the what it can be used for in regards to securing your hybrid implementation of on-premises in cloud architecture. There's been a lot of name changes that have occurred. Can we, you know, first start with that? Because that's one number one question that we've been getting thus far in terms of what's going on with all the name changes.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of name changes in the last couple of months. I do think they're actually really good name changes because they are standardizing what all the different name changes that we have and all the different naming conventions we have. But specifically around Security Center, we now have Azure Security Center, or ASC, as we did before. Yep. ASC is our free tier of CSPM, which is Cloud Security Posture Management software. Within Security Center, we have Azure Defender, and Azure Defender is our cloud workload protection product. That's the paid-for element of this suite of products, and that protects against different threats. I actually have, and here's something I prepared earlier. It's a little bit, it's going a little bit outside, but I think it's a really good, diagram you can see here. We have a lot of our XDR offering. It's called Microsoft Defender, and that splits into two halves. We have Microsoft 365 Defender, which we're not talking about in this session, but right. That's for endpoints. Well, as you can see, endpoints, identities, apps, etc. And Azure Defender on the right hand side there, that's talking, this is our threat protection on the Azure and server endpoint side. So for SQL, for your network, IoT, app services, containers, server VMs, and all of those different products together constitute Microsoft Defender. Now, I know there's a heck of a lot of different names and we do change them. So hopefully this diagram helps. I think this is a pretty good one to help explain things, but got a lot of things out there. The other thing that's really good to look at if you're still understanding where everything fits, all the different Microsoft products, is looking at the cybersecurity reference architecture. It's a very, very busy diagram, but it does show where all of the different Microsoft products sit. So that's worth checking out too.
So we're going to come back to Azure Defender later on. I definitely want to touch on the IoT piece, which we're seeing as the new architecturally hybrid solution, because your IoT devices are on premises or in the real world pushing data up to the cloud. But I also want to cover the SQL piece as well, because there are a lot of organizations that have that requirement of the SQL servers being on premises, and we'll love to see and have that talk about how Azure Defender defends those as well. So now what we're going to do is we're going to go through what Azure Security Center can do for your hybrid implementation or your hybrid architecture for on premises and in cloud. Take it away, Sarah.
Okay, so this is Azure Security Center. I'll talk about Azure Security Center first, and then I'll move on to talk about Azure Defender, which is part of Security Center. So Azure Security Center, or ASC, it's been around for a while. It is a really, really nice tool included within Azure, so you should go look at it. One of the great things about it is that despite the name calling it Azure Security Center, it can be used for machines and virtual machines that are on-premise or in other clouds, and we manage them through Azure Arc. I'll come back and talk about that a bit later. As I said, Security Center is a posture management tool. We've rejigged this screen in the last few months. So depending on when was the last time you looked at Security Center, it might look a bit different, but I think the improvements we've made are really good. So the first thing we'll have a look at is Secure Score. Now, Secure Score is something that we do use quite regularly in Microsoft. You might have seen Secure Score in Microsoft 365. We do use it in other places. But when we look at Secure Score here, we're looking at Secure Score for your Azure infrastructure and any cloud, other cloud or on-premise infrastructure. So if I have a look here, I'm just going to pick one of the subscriptions we've got. We can have a look and see how well we're scoring on a per subscription. You'll notice that you can be quite granular with this. So you can have a, you can just use ASC and look at a single subscription, or you can have it roll up and look at multiple subscriptions. In some organizations, we see that, particularly if you're going towards that agile DevOps model, that operational teams are actually taking responsibility for their individual subscriptions. And so that's why you might want to make the access limited to a certain subscription. And that can be done using our role-based access control or RBAC, or it might be you've still got a central team doing all of it, but we can cater to it either way. So you can see here on the subscription I've just dived into a little bit, the secure score on here is 77%. I've got 41 out of 54 points. And we can see that I've got about a third of my resources are considered healthy, about two thirds are considered unhealthy. Now, posture management is about trying to get rid of the gotchas, like the kind of basic things that you should do. Because one of the great things about cloud and one of the terrible things about cloud at the same time is that, you know, you can just spin up resources left, right, and center. And you can spin them up quickly and easily. And it means that from a security perspective, someone could be just spinning up random machines everywhere, and they may not have the right controls on them. They may not have the right images, and Security Center can help with that. So we know, actually, it's worth pointing out here, we know that a good proportion of security breaches are not initiated or propagated through, you know, someone in a hoodie, sort of tapping on a keyboard, doing some very, very complicated zero day. Often attackers are using known bugs, things that need patching, or even just misconfigurations. And so this is where Security Center can help, because the posture management and secure score can help you see where your machines are not configured to security best practice, and it can help you remediate them. And obviously that overall reduces the risk of those misconfigurations being manipulated by an attacker to do something bad. So if we have a look, I'll just, now we've recently-ish rearranged some of these how we categorize these. I think it's much more obvious now. So you can see here, top of the list, we have remediate vulnerabilities. So when we talk about vulnerabilities, this can be patching. It can be from our vulnerability assessment. ASC, Azure Security Center, does have Qualys as a gray box solution. Qualys is a vulnerability scanner, so that can look for any known vulnerabilities on your machines. But you can see here, we've got Azure Defender for SQL should be enabled. Vulnerabilities in the Azure Container Registry images should be remediated. Vulnerabilities in your virtual machine should be remediated. So I'm going to click on this one just so you can have a little bit more detail. If you click on one of these, it will, to start with, it will tell you all the findings. So you can see here, 6 of the 14 virtual machines in this subscription, they don't have the Windows security update for November 2020. They also don't have the Windows security update for December 2020.
Oh, wow.
Don't judge our demo environment. It is
well, it's done like that so that you can show it, right?
It is supposed to be like this. Look, we don't, you know, we basically, there's quite a lot of Windows security updates missing on here. You can see that we tell you how many resources are affected by this. There's also an Internet Explorer update there too. And we've also given it a severity as well. If I click on that, that particular finding, it will actually give me some more information. So it will tell me the impact. Now, this one's fairly obvious, which is if there's known vulnerabilities in your machine, that gives the attacker the possibility to exploit it. It will also give you here the CVEs and the CVSS base score. Now, if you're not familiar with what they are, the CVE is the Common Vulnerabilities and Exposures list. This is a centrally controlled list, which I'll actually show you. It's done by MITRE. Every time vulnerabilities are found, security vulnerabilities, they are logged in the CVE directory. So you can see here, generally a CVE ID will be CVE 2020, the year it was discovered, and then what number it is for that year. So you can find these for not just, it's not just OSs and Windows. It can be for code, it can be for other programs, but that's where researchers and manufacturers will log their CVEs. And the CVSS base score tells you how severe the potential impact could be. So you can go up to 10, I believe 10 is the highest off the top of my head, and it goes down from there. So you might have a minor security vulnerability that ultimately the impact might not be too bad, but if you can get up to a 9.8 and a 10 there, that's actually quite quite bad. So that gives you an idea of, and as you can see, we in Microsoft have categorized this as high severity. So that suggests you should fix this as soon as you can. So as you can see here, there's lots of CVEs that this particular security update is addressing. And then it will tell you the affected resources here. So we've got the some virtual machines. Just here, I wanted to show highlight these two servers in the middle. The two at the top and the two at the bottom are virtual machines that are from Azure. They're actually Azure resources. These two in the middle, just by, you can tell by the change in logo, they are actually on-premise servers that have been onboarded through Arc. So this is something that you can get for your virtual machines within Azure, but also for your virtual any virtual machines that you onboard to Azure Arc, Security Center can also monitor them, because of course we talk about all the time, there's no point, most people are running hybrid environments nowadays, there's no point just monitoring the cloud or just monitoring your on-prem. You need to get this view across everything. So that's something to remember. Do remember that you can onboard on-prem machines and get this sort of information as well. We also give you some remediation. I mean, essentially here the remediation is please install the security update, but that might vary depending on what you see.
I was gonna ask, in terms of what it actually reports out, is there any difference in terms of the reporting from a virtual machine that's based in Azure or a virtual machine based in Hyper-V? Would there be a designation on the report out list that you just shared in terms of which was which, if it was on premises or in cloud, or is it just sees them all as virtual machines and then reports on them just the same?
So it does, on this side of things, the reporting's the same. If you did need to see your, if you did for reporting purposes, perhaps need to see on-prem and in Azure differently, or you needed to, know what sort of the delta was between the two, the way that you onboarded those machines into Azure Arc would make that easier, because when you onboard a machine into Azure Arc, you'll put it in a resource group. So you'd probably have like an on-premise resource group and maybe put that in a separate subscription. And then what you'd be able to do is see that as a separate subscription, but have it all roll up. There's a couple of ways you could deal with that, but essentially the reporting is the same, but you may, some organizations might need to see them separate.
Some organizations, there's regulations that require them to report out their on-premises implementation that is required. This is the security that's being monitored. This is what the report out is in terms of their implementation, so they can prove that it's to the spec that's required for the ISO standard or the certificate required by the organization to upkeep.
Definitely. So, I'm not going to go through all of these because we'd be here for hours, but you can see I'll scroll down a little bit. Now, you'll only see recommendations that are relevant to the resources that ASC can see. So you wouldn't see this You wouldn't see a recommendation in here if you've got no resources that it's relevant to. And this is always being updated. So you can see here, we've got some Azure, and we've actually got here a specific on-prem recommendation. Log Analytics Agent should be installed on your Linux-based Azure Arc machines. So the Log Analytics Agent is used for various different things. It's also used for Sentinel, but the Log Analytics Agent does need to be installed on both on any virtual machines that ASC is monitoring. It does use that agent to help it report on things. So, but here, ASC is smart though. It will actually tell you, it does know if there are virtual machines in your subscription that don't have it installed. And as we can see here with this remediation, it actually tells you, please install it because I can't see anything. So, you know, we do make this really, really as straightforward as possible. And particularly, as I said, if you're moving to that DevOps thing where perhaps developers weren't necessarily responsible for operational security in the past, if they're just learning how to do this, it's nice and easy to do. And where you can see there's a blue box here that says quick fix, that's where we've got automated remediation to fix that problem. So we love that. So that means we've got an ARM template or a logic app that would be able to, fix it. Now you'll see here, because we practice what we preach in Microsoft, that we have the principle of least privilege. I actually do not have sufficient permissions on this demo to select this Arc machine. But if I did, what you would see, you can see here, I would select the machines, and down here, we've got some, well, they're grayed out for me on this one. You would be able to hit remediate or trigger logic app, and that would actually fix, it would do the automated remediation. We also provide you the ability to look at the ARM template and the actual logic of the remediation before you do it. So of course, because if we're looking at production environments, I'm very aware, because I come from an operational background, that you can't just necessarily start installing things willy-nilly on operational things. So in fact, this is a good demonstration of how as well you can limit the permissions that people have to ASC. It might be you just want them to be able to look but not fix, which is what I have here in this particular environment. So you don't need to be scared that people are just going to use this automated remediation to start making changes in prod without it being controlled and going through your change control process.
Role-based access control has been huge in terms of the least amount of enablement provided to administrators, end users, whoever is governing over your organization, and have to be granted access, and the whole trouble ticketing capability that can be implemented and permissions granted through that trouble ticketing. It's such a huge benefit for security forensics. Should something happen or there's a theft of data occurring, you know, the fact that you have this capability of lockdown and asking for, and granting permissions, and then tracking that whole history in terms of the footprints and how that all occurred, huge advantage for people and organizations to keep track of what's going on.
And you've probably heard it before. It's cheesy, but it's true. You know, identity is our new perimeter with hybrid environments. When you've got things on premise and you've got things on the cloud, the only way that you can now build a perimeter, we can't just box everything in a traditional on-prem data center with lots of firewalls anymore. We can't just use the network because of hybrid architectures. So the only way that we can have a perimeter now is to have really strong centralized identity controls. It's the way forward, and it's a journey for everyone. And I'm not saying, before anyone like jumps at me on Discord or anything, I'm not saying network controls aren't important. I am previously a network engineer in a previous life, but they can't be the only thing we can rely on anymore in hybrid architecture. It just doesn't work. So yeah, identity and RBAC is really, really important. There's another half a day rant I could go on that we definitely don't have time for.
We'll have to do that in future.
Yeah. That's a big one. And you can see, as I said, I'm not going to go through all of these, you can see we've got things like looking at network. As I said, network is important. Yep. Applying system updates, of course. Enable auditing and logging. Implement security best practices. Now, here's a good one that I do like to see is done, which is MFA. You can see here that MFA is all enabled on our subscription. Right. This demo subscription is not all bad. And we got our encrypted data in transit, secure management ports. And if you're wondering, these best practices come from a variety of places, but they are largely based on internal Microsoft best practice, the CIS, which is Center for Internet Security, Azure Benchmark, and general best practices in industry. So this is a really good place to start. If you're just starting to move to the cloud, and I had a customer, and I love this description, it's always stuck in my mind. They said that their cloud implementation was a bit of a wild west, that people had just spun things up all over the place, and the security team didn't really have good visibility of what anything was, whether it was good, whether it was bad. Like, this is a really good place to start. And because it's scored, it's something that you can actually look to improve over time, and you can track that, and you can track it and monitor it, and you can see how your secure score improves, which is great, because it, if you're still sort of maybe building a cloud security policy, because, you know, the reality is not all businesses will build a cloud security policy before they start moving to cloud. And this is, you know, a way to start you off and saying, well, you know, here, these are best industry best practices, and we are adhering to them, or this is where we're not, let's look how we can fix that, etc. So I think this is a really good place to start.
So a couple of things I want to reemphasize: MFA, or multi-factor authentication, really important. It's no longer an excuse. You don't have to buy a token. You can enable that functionality directly on your smartphone using the app, or there's a callback feature, what have you. It's something that you can activate in Azure Active Directory for that type of implementation. So something that, you know, you should take into consideration when you're deploying your security strategy across your hybrid infrastructure. The other piece I wanted to make sure that everybody is aware of is your security posture and your governance posture should be planned hand in hand. You know, the cloud shouldn't be the wild, wild west when you're migrating data up into the cloud and taking advantage of a hybrid infrastructure implementation. Governance is that key that can provide you that guidance in terms of what the organization has said is okay to deploy, to spin up in terms of services in your organization. It's something that can be agreed upon by the organization as a whole and doesn't have to be governed by one entity. Think of it as cloud adoption with training wheels or with guardrails so that you don't fall off the bed, and you ensure that your organization stays in its secure posture that's required for the implementation of cloud.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you've got to, as you said, your governance and your security standards do need to go hand in hand. It's tricky, and you've got to translate. Often businesses will have had something, or organizations will have had something they were using on-prem, and it's not necessarily a straight sort of copy paste, but yeah, it's an important thing to do so you can actually judge where you're at. But I think ASC is a really good place to start if you're still going through that journey and working it out within your organization. And of course, the great thing is it also will look at your on-premise as well, because a lot of these best practices that you can see, they are good, common, good, solid common sense. And, you know, the vast majority of them also apply and to on-premise machines as well. Right. So you can use this actually to get a look back. If you onboard machines through Azure Arc, you can actually see what your on-premise kind of security baseline is as well, which might be an interesting experience for some customers, depending on how your on-premise, how well it's been looked after in the past. Right.
And that's the thing, right? That's the important piece. You want to have that uniformity of your virtual machines across on-premises and cloud. And so if rules needed to be abided by in cloud, most likely they have to be done on-premise as well. So it's something where if you're getting now that standardized, this is what we should be at and why were you not there, it being reported out in ASC is a huge advantage for organizations to get up to spec in terms of the updates and security patches that are required.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, this is you know, we have this discussion all the time in security, but it's so true, is that an attacker doesn't care if your server is in the cloud or on-premise. They're going to go for the low-hanging fruit, the easiest thing for them to get into. It may not be where they need to be initially, but if that gets them a foothold in your organization, then in your environment, then they can start to look to move laterally and move through your environment. So if you just concentrate, say, on patching all your new things in the cloud, and you just sort of let your on-prem just do its thing and neglect it, an attacker might decide, you know, may just go for the easiest, lowest common denominator, whatever's easy. I mean, attackers don't care where it is. They're just going to go for the easiest thing. And even if that particular resource that they compromise doesn't have anything of value, that could be their point to start to pivot throughout the rest of your environment. So, you know, it is important. Security has to be looked at holistically. So you can't just look at, say, hey, we're going cloud first. Let's kind of just focus on cloud, because, you know, at the end of the day, that wouldn't necessarily protect you. Maybe it'll protect your cloud environment, but yeah. So we've got to always think about this in a holistic way.
In terms of your implementation of Azure Security Center and monitoring your on-premises implementation, you made mention numerous times about Azure Arc. Is that a requirement for your onboarding of on-premises?
Not necessarily. There are two ways you can onboard on-premise servers into Azure Security Center. Our recommended way is using Azure Arc. And the way that we onboard to Azure Arc is, well, the same way you do any Azure Arc onboarding, no matter what you choose to use Azure Arc for, is exactly the same. In fact, well, here's one I made earlier. Essentially, if you've already got a on-prem machine you want to add, you simply add it as a server. Essentially, you have to click through here, fill in where you want to onboard it within your Azure subscription. You can put tags on it. Obviously, this isn't going to work because it's a this is me messing around. And then it will create for you a custom script that's tailored for that machine. And you download and run the script, and then it will onboard to Azure Arc. So of course, Azure Arc has many other uses as well. It's not just for ASC, but that's our recommended way of doing it. The other way that you can do it, that was the only way to do it until Azure Arc came along, which is to manually add agents here within Security Center. This is probably more fiddly. The agent that you have to install is the Log Analytics agent, but it is a little bit fiddlier to do it like that. We definitely recommend Azure Arc. But yeah, this is the other way you can do it. The cool thing is that it doesn't matter which one you install, from an ASC perspective, at least, the functionality is the same, but we would recommend you go with Azure Arc, which is our way of connecting things outside Azure into Azure for many different services. So there's a lot of other good reasons to use that. So they're your two options.
So now, for more information around Azure Arc, we'll provide the link below. In regards to where you can find out more information about Azure Arc and its implementation. But it's great to know that there is choice in terms of your deployment or your monitoring of your on-premises implementation in a hybrid infrastructure through Azure Security Center. I think one of the big things for me is, you made mention, is the manual process that's required outside of Azure Arc, whereas in Azure Arc, it's all automated. Is it safe to assume that it also allows you to do multiple implementations of server that's on-premises through Azure Arc really quickly, as opposed to doing it the other way, where you're going one by one by one installing the clients?
Yeah, actually, to be fair, when we say manually, it is possible to push out this. Okay. It is possible if you're using SCCM and other systems on-premise that push mass updates and programs, you can get the Log Analytics machine to you can use those systems to push the Log Analytics agent. So it's probably not entirely fair to say it's literally one by one by one. But Azure Arc is the easier way of doing it. It's more straightforward because that is something that's designed for doing those things and onboarding. There's one other thing I wanted to show from Security Center, which is really valuable. And we touched on this just before. You talked about regulations and regulatory compliance. That is something that most organizations, no matter what the vertical and where you are in the world, most organizations are beholden to regulatory compliance in some way, shape, or form. And we actually have a module as part of Security Center that can help with that. So you can see here, we've got ISO 27001, PCI DSS, which is for processing credit card payments. We have NIST, which is made by the federal government. I'm not going to read them all out here. We've got the Azure CIS, the Center for Internet Security Benchmark, which I did refer to earlier in the recommendations. And the regulatory compliance module here will actually score your infrastructure, the infrastructure that it can see against these regulatory standards. So, you know, if we have a look at ISO here, ISO 27001 is a very, very common global information security standard, if you haven't heard of it. And you can see here, it is actually, if we drill down, we can see all the different, rules within the standard. And then we can see where we've got a little red cross, that's where we're not compliant. Where it's gray, that means that's not an automated control at the moment, or it might be something that you have to look at outside of Azure, because these standards, if you're not familiar with these standards, they are holistic for an organization. So they're not just necessarily technical standards. So you can see here, for example, human resources security. That's something that's part of the ISO 27001 standard, but it's not something that ASC can look at because that is a company policy. If you see here, it's talking about security around prior to employment, during employment, and termination. So, for example, a prior to employment check would be doing a background check, maybe a criminal records check. Now, ASC, of course, whilst we have a lot of intelligence in ASC, ASC isn't able to go and read your organization's policies to know whether you can do that. So you will see some things grayed out because we can't check them. We'll be focusing on the technical infrastructure controls. So if we have a look at one of these, as you can see, we're not doing particularly well in this subscription. You can see here, segregation of duties, we're not adhering to that. And as you can see, when we drill down, it actually links it back to the best practice recommendations and secure score that we were looking at before. So essentially, it's saying this is the part of the standard we're failing on, but this is how you fix it. So if I click here, it will actually take me to that recommendation that we were looking at previously. So again, there's still going to be work to do for you, but what it means is that it very, very clearly shows you links to how you can improve your posture and how it will help you adhere to regulatory compliance, which I think is really, really cool. And as someone who comes from, I did work in financial services, and before that, I worked for a Big Four organization that did these sort of assessments on behalf of other organizations. I can tell you, as someone who's been on both sides of the fence for regulatory assessments, doing any of it in an automated fashion is really, really helpful, because these sort of assessments against standards can be very, very time consuming. So this is definitely very, very valuable.
So Sarah, one of the questions I know is going to come up is, what is the difference then between Azure Security Center and Azure Sentinel?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and we get asked it a lot. So Azure Security Center is, you can see here, and I think this is one of the best diagrams we have to explain this. Azure Security Center is what you use to proactively prevent, to be proactively stopping security things happen. Security issues happening. So this is when you can identify maybe where you've got a misconfiguration or something that's not configured to best practice, or you need to do patching, and then you can remediate that and implement protections. And this is all before anything's happened. Then for Sentinel, and Sentinel is your SIEM, where it will actually detect security incidents if they happen. And then that's where you can respond and recover. So that's kind of in the incident. That's where Security Center and Sentinel sit. It's a really good question though, and we get asked it a lot. So I still think people are still getting their heads around it, but Security Center is just one pillar of the things that need to be fed into a SIEM like Azure Sentinel. So Security Center or Azure Defender, the Azure Defender part of Azure Security Center will generate threat protection alerts. And alongside alerts coming from your identity, your endpoint, other clouds, and network, you would send that into your SIEM. So the SIEM has visibility of everything in your environment, and then it will create incidents as appropriate. And that's the way that you get proper visibility of what's going on, particularly in complex hybrid environments.
So early on in the presentation, you talked about Azure Defender Threat Protection and its capabilities for your hybrid implementation of on-premises and in cloud. Let's get a little deeper into that. So what does it actually mean and what can you actually do with it?
So Azure Defender is a cloud workload protection or CWP product. So what that means is it will actually look at the behavior and the heuristics and what's going on in different products within Azure and some of them on-prem as well. And if it sees something that looks like it could be anomalous or looks like a pattern of behavior that we've seen in our Microsoft Threat Intelligence land, it will create an alert. So you can see here on the Azure Defender page, it shows us to start with what is covered by Azure Defender, what is and isn't covered. And you can see Azure Defender does go across a range of different things. We have servers, Kubernetes, container registries, SQL. I'm not going to read them all out. And right. Then we can see the security alerts here. So it actually tells us what security alerts have been raised. So this is last 2 weeks or so here. If I click on that, we can actually have a look at the security alerts. Again, this is a demo environment. So we do have we do have quite a lot of alerts, so we can show people what goes on. But again, these alerts are going to depend on what is seen in your environment and what things you have running. But you can see here, we've got DDoS attack for public IP. That's actually something that will have come from the Azure DDoS service, which is a network product that we have, but it will report into ASC. For example, here we've got an exposed Kubernetes dashboard that's been detected. For those of you who aren't too familiar with Kubernetes, having a exposed Kubernetes dashboard is not good. It is something that can... it is something that can be potentially vulnerable and should be remediated. If we go back to the security alerts, now here are some, we've actually got quite a few here. We've got potential SQL brute force. Now, SQL, of course, is something that a lot of people are running in some way, shape, or form. And SQL injection is one of the OWASP top 10 web vulnerabilities. So SQL brute force, of course, is not good. You can see that someone is attempting to brute force the creds to your SQL server, because, of course, you will log into a SQL server with different creds. So you can see here, it's mapped to the MITRE attack tactics, and it will give you the principal name, the application, the IP address, where we think it's come from. Of course, this is a demo, so it's not so interesting. And then it will also, in take action, it will tell you what you need to do. It's also possible to trigger an automated response here as well to actually fix it. So fix it quickly without a person being involved if you want to. Of course, there are quite a lot of security alerts. What you see, of course, is going to depend on what's running. But we do have coverage for a lot of different things. You can see here, we have some more SQL injection, which, of course, is quite a can be a quite nasty attack if you've got vulnerable if you've got vulnerable SQL things running. We've got phishing content hosted on an Azure web app. Of course, that's not something you want to see. It's not great to if someone's using phishing content on your right. web app, that suggests your web app's been compromised. It's also not good from a reputational perspective. We can see currency mining. So that's Bitcoin mining. And then focusing maybe more on like the server infrastructure. You can see here we've got failed SSH brute force attack. So that's when someone just keeps trying to SSH into a machine with credentials, just keep trying and trying and trying. We can see suspicious authentication. As you can see, I'm not going to read them all out, but there's right. many, many, many different things here. And we're adding to them all the time. And of course, it's very contextual as to what you will see here. But if you see an alert in here based on Microsoft Threat Intelligence and all the different things that all the different threat intelligence that we collect and our security engineers and our threat intelligence folks, this is something that you may want to look at.
So Sarah, we covered a lot today in regards to Azure Security Center. If somebody wants to continue on their journey in terms of upskilling on the service, what's the best resources made available for them?
Yeah, so we've actually got now, in the last few months, we released the ASC Ninja training. So that's right. training that goes through ASC from top to bottom and tells you how to use it. There's a lot of videos and tutorials and labs. So I think that's a great place to start. We also have an ASC GitHub repo right. where there are example logic apps for mediating things. So that's definitely worth checking out. One of my colleagues, the very wonderful Yuri, who's on my sister team. Yuri runs a regular YouTube series called yep. Azure Security Center in the Field. It's fairly bite-sized and it goes through different aspects of ASC. He always interviews someone. That's worth checking out. And you can always go to the Azure Security Tech community and look at the ASC pages where we do write new blogs. And you can ask questions. And we also have, as we do for Sentinel on our other security products, we run webinars. We post all the webinars if they're not at a good time for you. For me, over here in New Zealand, the webinars are at 3 a.m. So I don't really get up wow. for them, post them, unless I'm running them. I have had right. to run a webinar at 3 a.m. because we do them live, but then the recordings are posted to YouTube so you can watch them retrospectively. We have them for Sentinel, for ASC, for MCAS, all the other security products. So yeah, definitely go check that out too. And that's probably a good place to start with ASC. And we also have some MS Learn modules as well, which right. we're going to look to. And I think that's everything that's sort of a good foundation to look at
ASC. One possible add would be the Azure Security Center Hub on Docs as well, that you probably wanted to highlight yes. In regards to your full repository of your vanilla versions of implementation. And then looking at, you know, like tech community for that real world now guidance in terms of implementing Azure Security Center. Sarah, awesome to be with you here to talk about Azure Security Center. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you on social?
That would be my Twitter handle. It's @_SarahYO or Sarah Yo. So feel free to tweet at me. My DMs are open for better or worse. So feel free to reach out to me. Alternatively, you can also post questions on the tech community website, and that's picked up by myself, my teammates, and other engineering folks as well. If you have questions, and we're always trying to help out where we can.
And if you want to get a hold of me for some reason, you can find me on Twitter @WirelessLife or regularly producing content at itopstalk.com. Sarah, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
See y'all.
Bye.